The late celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain changed the way that a lot of people think about food. He traveled the world for his CNN show, Parts Unknown, and took us along for the ride.
It's the capital of Kenya with 6.5 million people living in the metro area. Metro Manila, bustling, sprawling Southeast Asian capital of the Philippines, Seattle. A city with a collective identity constantly in flux. Nightcap at a chef-friendly establishment known as Octopus Bar in East Atlanta. I am unbelievably, in spite of my world travels, new to the wonders of the Waffle House.
Bourdain killed himself in June while filming Parts Unknown, but his legacy remains, and that final season of the series debuted last night on CNN. So with that in mind, we invite a couple of people, friends who worked with him and were inspired with him by him to join us. Freelance photographer David Holloway worked with Bourdain and joins us from New York. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well. Really happy to talk about Bourdain. And we welcome executive chef of Five Church Atlanta, Scottly Innes, is with us. Hello, Scottly.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Well, he's wearing his Kettle One and Soda breakfast shirt for us today.
Yes.
Really glad to have you with us. So tell us first, David, how about you? How did you come to know Bourdain?
I worked with him a couple of times on his first show, and it was just a coincidence. I wound up working for CNN just before he started working there. And, you know, I reached out and said that I was interested in the show, and he wasn't letting a lot of people work on it. And he invited me on a trip, and then he told me I could stay.
Well, that's the best kind of invitation you want. How about you, Scottly? How did you meet him?
Well, I guess when he came to Atlanta and did his tour of different restaurants, such as the Octopus Bar, I was the executive chef at Ormsby's restaurant. And, you know, like Ormsby's is a speakeasy restaurant slash bar. And, you know, he snuck in by himself and, you know, just played his normal self. And that's how I met him.
So, chef to chef, that must be a pretty amazing thing that you were working there. And then in Saunters, Anthony Bourdain.
It was mind-blowing to see the late, great Anthony Bourdain, the legend, as I call him.
What impressed you about him? I mean, this is a guy covered with tattoos. He's very steely in a way. He can be withering in his criticism. Was he a warm person?
Very warm. You know, a lot of celebrities, I'm not going to say nowadays, but a lot of celebrities are not personal people. So, he was warm, welcoming, and, you know, great conversation, down to earth. You know, he loved his beer and, you know, just let him know how great it was to have him in our presence.
Well, we did get some tape from a 2000 interview. This is for WBUR's Open Source radio show. And he's making a prediction about his future as a celebrity chef.
For me, the heroes are line cooks. I mean, this book was written from the point of view of the line cook in the trenches, you know, not somebody with their own show on the TV Food Network. You know, I will never have my own show. You would be very foolish to make me the host of a show on the TV Food Network.
So there you go. His prediction obviously didn't make it. David, you are a photographer, and apparently Bourdain hated having his photo taken, never mind being on TV.
Yeah, it's true.
So what was that relationship like?
Well, the first time that not the first time I shot him, but one of the first times that I was traveling with him and I shot him, it was like a funny situation. I worked with a lot of people that don't want to be photographed before, but I just was like, hey, this is really a great scene. Can I shoot you over here? And he kind of hemmed and hawed and rolled his eyes. And I was like, look, you're the one wasting time. And he's like, okay. And we went over and I just fired off five frames. And was like, okay, thanks. And I turned around and walked off. And later in the airport, I was like, hey, thanks for letting me come. And he said, no, thank you for being the most expedient photographer I've ever met. And so it made a difference. You know, he was always happy to see me. He was always, I told him, I go, look, I'm not going to ask for a lot, but when I do, like, it's going to be worth it. And so he was always willing to say yes.
Well, he always was willing to say yes as a traveler, it seemed to. I mean, I remember, you know, watching him eat like sheep's eyeballs and last night on the show drinking blood wine, remaining curious and hungry on all of his different adventures. In an interview with NPR, he talked about how often he chose eateries that weren't famous, but known in local communities.
The response I'm looking for is to hear from someone from the neighborhood saying, How did you ever find that place? I thought only we knew about it. It's, you know, a truly a place that we love and is reflective of our culture and our neighborhood. But on the other hand, that's kind of a destructive process, because if I name the place, and I don't always when it's a place like that, I've changed it. The next time I go back, there's tourists. There's people who've seen it on the show. And then I might hear from the same person from that neighborhood saying, you ruined my favorite bar. You know, all the regular customers have run away and it's filled with, you know, tourists in ugly T-shirts and flip-flops.
Okay, so he did open up the world of those, I guess, tourists in flip-flops and T-shirts. But how did he change the views of American food and travel, do you think?
The way he changed, just like you said, went to the unknown places that, you know, locals like me indulge on a daily basis. I never forget when he came to the Bronx, you know. I was born and raised in the Bronx, and he went to local restaurants that I actually went as a kid and growing up. So he made it known to the world, you know, you can find the diamond in the rough. And he basically just inspired everybody to, you know, just search, just come out your realm and to search for something different in not the most well-known areas of the world.
David, would you say a similar thing, that this opened up a way of not just eating, but looking at the world?
Yeah, Tony was kind of like a contemporary Frommer's or Lonely Planet. People really trusted him to be their guide. And traveling all the time, even after his death, I found myself in Peru recently and just sitting in a coffee shop, and I start talking to a few other people who are obviously American travelers, and nobody knows what I do. And the conversation just turns to, you know, when Anthony Bourdain was here, you know, this is what he said. And that happens everywhere. You know, I've been in, you know, dozens of countries, and it's always possible to run into someone who's there and they're using Tony as their guide.
Did you both watch last night's episode from Kenya?
No, I didn't get to.
Oh, it was really lovely. There's apparently this is his last that he completed with his signature, you know, scripted narration. Let's hear just a clip from that.
I do my best. I look. I listen. But in the end, I know it's my story. Not Kamau's, not Kenya's, or Kenyan's. Those stories are yet to be heard.
Anthony Bourdain from last night's episode of Parts Unknown seems especially poignant to me. And watching him last night, just a kind of generosity of spirit. And Dan Immerglock, who sat down earlier, said, you know, my son just fell apart after he died. What? So many people who didn't know him. Scott Lee, you knew him. Both of you knew him. David, you knew him. Why did it affect people so much?
Well,
Tony was relatable. He was honest, you know. When I think about what Tony was to me, he always felt like a cooler older cousin. He knew that I wasn't as cool as him, but he was going to help me. You know, he's going to steer me to keep me, I don't know, being more interesting. And I think that he did that for everyone. If you watched the show and it inspired you or connected with you, like, that's him. That's really him.
What do you think,
his
Scott
voice.
Lee? Scott Lee.
You know, he's just a down-to-earth, you know, individual. Even with his status, you know, he will walk the normal streets as, you know, every single person in the world. He made everybody feel comfortable to be around him. You know, just gave everybody that inspiration. And, you know, you weren't always perfect, but you can better yourself off, you know, as long as you put your mind to it and stay focused and stay well grounded. And, you know, he just made everybody feel warm welcome.
Is there a recipe that of his that you love that you're going to keep cooking in his honor?
Always. Especially, you know, the book Kitchen Confidential. You know, when I first started to read it, you know, I thought I would be able to just read one chapter at a time, but I just couldn't put the book down because it's like you were basically living your life through that book as a upcoming chef, a line cook, just the daily struggles that we go through in the kitchen, restaurant industry. No one knows. No one knows.
Scott Leonis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Scott Leonis and David Holloway, freelance photographer, both friends, both new and loved, and were inspired by Anthony Bourdain. You can catch the final season of Parts Unknown Sundays at 9 on CNN. There are more details on our website, gppnews.org. That's all we have time for today. This is On Second Thought from Georgia Public Broadcasting.